I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2 this time, and we're going to look in verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Colossians 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking for your blessing, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you and to hear from you. Lord, that you might again be glorified and that you would draw us closer to you, to one another. And Lord, that we would be empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Again, bless your word tonight and build your church. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is found there in verse 2. And it's "All Riches of the Full Assurance of Understanding." All riches of the full assurance of understanding. And so tonight we want to take a look at the riches of Christ, and specifically all riches that he has for us with the full assurance of understanding. So that is really the way that he's laying this all out. And so let me ask you an important question for you to answer to yourself. Don't answer this out loud. Do you have all riches of the full assurance of understanding? So you may have answered that one of three ways, or maybe another way. If you have a different way of answering this, you can let me know. At least at the beginning of this question here tonight, that you could say yes, you could say no, or you could say I don't know. Amen. Those are the three that I've thought of. You may have another one. If you do, let me know. But anyway, God wants us to have all riches of the full assurance of the understanding that he has for us, and the understanding of what he wants in your life and mine concerning salvation. Now, I'm telling you, this is the direction. There's no doubt in my mind for the church to be found faithful and to be empowered by the grace of God, to have all riches and the full assurance of understanding that God wants you and I to have as believers concerning the salvation and the grace that he has paid for with his blood to give you and I. Does that make sense? This is what, and listen, the more we understand this, the more of God's rest we'll experience, the more of his peace, and the more of his joy. Now, we looked at earlier, in fact, you're right there in Colossians, look at chapter 1, verse 24, and we looked at the afflictions of Christ here. Look at verse 24 again. It says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." And if you go, we're not going to go through it, but in context, he's talking about that these were the things that were needful, the afflictions of Christ. And I do want to back up here a little bit, and I do want us to understand this a little bit clearer. I said having a flat tire is not necessarily really the afflictions of Christ, but wait a minute, it can be. Now, how does that work? It works this way. Ready? If we give it to the Lord, believing that even the flat tire, because God does not want us to lose our testimony when we get a flat tire. It would be a horrible thing, or it would not be a good thing for us to keep our peace and our joy under all circumstances, except for when we're on the side of the road with a flat tire, to kick it and get mad and throw a wrench at it or whatever we might do, right? So all things really work together for good, even the flat tire that God brings into our life, that we might say, okay, what is God wanting me to do? Well, first of all, he's wanting you and I to understand this. We're in his hands in all circumstances and in all situations. And he wants us to have his peace in all circumstances and in all situations. And he will grant that for us, and he will take us through that. But we have to stop and say, okay, Lord, I want to be yielded for you to work through me. Listen, so what do we have to start thinking about? I can rejoice in this moment that I have. How can I do that? Well, I am in good health, right? My family is blessed. I live in America. And count your many blessings, right? A lot of times, I think I've mentioned this, there are five-star hotels in foreign countries you and I wouldn't want to stay in. Because they don't have internet. And they might have some unwanted guests crawling around. There's all kind of different things that we take for granted. We wouldn't want to stay in a place like that. But I'm telling you, there are places in this world that would be the best place. Listen, there are places in this world that still do not have electricity, believe it or not. I couldn't believe that. I watched this one fella that he went to a foreign country to go eat there. He wanted to eat their food. And there was no electric. They lived in a village. They were in a remote area. I can't tell you how many hours he had to drive to get there. And they ate by firelight. And so, we take a lot of things for granted. So all these things that we can be thankful for by the grace of God, God has to call our mind to these things. And the only way we can do that is to be yielded to the Lord. So let's look at a couple of thoughts tonight. We want to look at Paul's great affliction. We want to look at hearts knit together. And the third thought is rooted and built up in him. And then he gives us a warning in verse 8. But look at verse 1 with me. And notice what Paul says. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea." Remember the Laodicean church? "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He says, "I have a great conflict. I want you to know. I want you to have what God has given to me." The great conflict is that they might enjoy completely the salvation that God has given to us. We want to experience all the features that God has for us in our salvation. Many times today we have electronics, and unless you're really intrigued with electronics, you just learn what you need to know to use the tool for the specific function. Cell phones, for one thing. I'm sure I'm probably tapping into maybe 10% of what my phone can do. You know, I text and I call on it, and sometimes I'll look some things, and that's some things up. I do use the reminders that give me a little bell warning there to notice that I've got an appointment or something. But other than that, there's not a whole lot more that I do with that. And they are basically a handheld computer, aren't they? Anymore, they can do a lot of different things. But even more important than a cell phone or any other kind of electronic device or mechanical device is our salvation. God wants us to walk into every room that he has provided for you and I, and to enjoy everything that God has given to us in our salvation. And why is that? Because that's where we experience the peace. Imagine only experiencing, and it's a great experience, salvation, and not have the joy of the Lord, and not be able to rejoice how often? Always. And not being able to rejoice. That is not the light of Christ. And so God wants to bring peace. Believe it or not, even in the middle of a trial, God wants us to have his peace, because that's what separates us from everybody else, from the world. And by the way, when we, not putting it on, but God providing that peace and that joy in the midst of the trials and difficulties of life, that is the light, that is the witness the world needs to see. They don't want to just hear it. That's okay, and that's important. I'm not saying we shouldn't witness, but they need to see the life of Christ in us that we're talking about. Here's what we tell people, ready? We tell people, here's what we think. God can save the criminal, can he not? And put his feet on the right path. God can save the drug addict, can he not? God can save and redeem the prostitute, can he not? And we can think God can change the path of the drug dealer, can he not? And we say, can he completely change them and take that away from them completely? And then we look to our lives concerning the trials and the sins that we might be besetted by, and we say, oh, but that's just the way I am. Now, isn't there something a little bit wrong with that? He can do this great work, but this other thing here, it's too much for God. No, we're not too much for God. God can do all things through Christ Jesus, right? We can do all things through Christ Jesus. So who strengthens us? He's the one that's our strength.
So he's saying, I want you to know, Paul had this great conflict for God's people, even the people at Laodicea who grew cold to the things of God. Is it possible for God's people to grow cold to him? It is. It is. Let me ask you this. I was going to say hot, cold, or lukewarm, but God doesn't like cold or lukewarm, does he? Really? But he would rather us to be at least one way or the other. The churches today, God's people, I'm not talking about those that call themselves churches that are not churches. What do I mean by that? Those that believe in a work salvation, they are not the churches of God. Do you believe that? Listen, that is not going to be looking favorably upon us. We're going to look like exclusionaries, but we're not. We are inclusive. If you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, all are welcome. But not if you believe you've got to earn your salvation. That is another gospel, which is not another gospel. It's a deception. And so we want to stand firm on the foundation that God has given to us. So here's this great conflict that Paul has for the people of God, the churches of God. He wants them to experience this because this is where the fire is at. This is where our hearts get turned on fire for the Lord. And then that's what brings our hearts knitted together. Look at verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, God's love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement, listen, of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you see that? Isn't that good? All the treasures of God, of wisdom and knowledge and experience that God has for you and I. This has been written to you and I that we might understand what God wants us to experience in our life. Please, we make a mistake to look at that and say, oh yeah, that's something for Paul. No, that's for us. Listen, this was the great conflict that Paul was experiencing, that we might walk into all of the things that God has provided for us, that we might sit at the table of the Master of Masters and enjoy the complete salvation that he's given to us, because that's where we rest, that's where we have peace and the joy of the Lord that the world cannot take away from us. So he's really wanting us to have this all riches of the full assurance and understanding that he has provided for the believer. And by the way, it's all wrapped up where? In the Lord. So listen, here's how it works. Ready? Lord, and I think I got the names, but I think you understood the story with Jacob and Joseph. I think I got them a little confused this afternoon, but here's the thing. Jacob, all right, Israel had the promises of God, but he did not walk in all of the promises until later in life. Joseph, at 17 years old, was already in them and resting in them and enjoying them, even if his brothers hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably. And then he got sold into Egypt. And then you had Potiphar, and then you had Potiphar's wife, and then you had the prison experience. But finally, God brought him through all of that. But he wasn't waiting to become second to Pharaoh. He was enjoying the Lord right there where he was at, even when his brothers hated him, in the middle of conflict. In the midst of the battle, God wants us to have the peace. Not when we're done with the battle. In the midst of the battle is where the world will see the glory and grace of God. And that's where, listen, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of your trial, are they real? Well, you answer that question. Of course they're real. Are they trials? Of course they are. Are they hardships? Of course they are. But I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God is saying. He wants to be our peace right there. The world can be happy when things are going their way. So can we. But that's our happiness. Remember, happiness is what happens to us. Joy has to come from the Lord. The real joy that passes understanding, that is there in spite of any difficulties that we might experience. So, when we look at this here, we find Paul saying that this is where our hearts are knit together with one another and with the Lord. So let's put that in context. Look at verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Do you think he's talking about the world's love or God's love? God's love. In love and unto all, listen, knit together, interwoven together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants us knit together, you and I knit together in all of these things. That's where the church becomes a bonfire in the world for the glory of God. So, how do we do that? Well, we don't do it. We ask God to do it. Lord, I want to walk in that. Listen, God will make us aware, more aware. He will help us to see things. Listen, how many of you know this? The flesh is a big foe. The flesh is pretty outspoken. The flesh will trip you up. Amen? It'll trip me up. My flesh can get my mouth going before my head goes. It can. Can it not? Don't answer this. Oh, I wish I'd have never said that. You ever do that? No, don't say that. So here it is. Ready? If we're asking God to do that work, if we're understanding it's his job and not our effort, listen, God will stop us before. Listen, it's amazing. God will stop you by the Holy Spirit because you are wanting that to take place in your life. And you will think things like never before. All right? This is maybe a poor analogy. Have you ever seen something? Have you ever seen something where it was slowed down into slow motion and you saw everything? You were able to just really analyze it because it was slowed down. You ever seen something like that? Maybe in a sports game, maybe some of these science fiction movies do some things, and you've got people kind of looking at things that are like almost suspended and stopped for them, and all of a sudden they've got this angle of every corner. They see things like nobody else is seeing, and everything is flying. So listen, that is the difference. It's just an illustration. That is the difference of when we're in the Spirit. God will stop us, we'll be able to examine, and we'll be able to say, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to rest in the Lord and allow God to guide so that things will be done in a way that would honor and glorify. I'm going to allow the Lord to have... Listen, I am going to allow the Lord right now, at this moment of time, to have his will with me. And I am going to... Listen, he will stop us and he will allow us to examine that situation. And listen, this is what we'll see. What we would do and what God wants us to do. And I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, God will want us to keep quiet. 9 times out of 10, God will want us to not say a word. And even if it's misunderstood or even if we look bad, God is wanting us. We say more than we should. God is wanting us, and listen, we will know that God is in the middle of that. And we'll walk away praising God, saying, I would have opened up my mouth, I would have put my foot in it, and it may have not been a horrible thing, it may have not been a bad thing, but it definitely wouldn't have been a God thing. It would have been a me thing. So God will, listen, make us aware by the Holy Spirit, and we'll know it's him because I'm telling you, he stops everything and allows us to think through by the grace of God and examine things by the Holy Spirit, and we'll know it's him, and he'll give us the direction, and we'll rest in that, and we'll say, wow, that is good. God is wanting to knit all his churches together, all his people together in this truth, is he not? God wants every believer to experience this, but listen, he wants us to be knitted together in him. Because that is the only way. It is God's righteousness, or it will never be. We will think, oh, we're doing God a favor, but it will smell of us. It will be full of self, and that's not the way the Lord wants it to be done. We think we've got such great ideas, and we have such great intentions, but that's still not the will of God. And God wants us to experience that. And no matter what the trial or difficulty may be, Lord, I want to approach it by your wisdom and grace. Not how I think, and definitely not how I feel. Right? Feelings. They'll get you in trouble every time. Feelings, because of how we feel. Well, I felt, and I feel, and the Lord's not in on that, because he works by faith. And so, notice this here in verse 4. And the key truth is in verse 7. But look at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile, and that word beguile is deceive you, with enticing words. Oh boy, we can get the answer. Listen, you can be beguiled by yourself. We can be beguiled by ourselves. We can fool ourselves into thinking we know the answer. I know what you need, and we'll miss it. For though, notice, I be absent in the flesh, verse 5, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. So there is order in the spirit, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, not in ourselves, in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. How did you receive him? By faith. And you can interchange that word with trust. I trusted the Lord. How much of salvation was your work? Amen, brother. None. We better say none. How much of it was God's work? All of it. Now, why do we think we got to help God now? We were never any help to him. In fact, he came because he saw us. And listen, the truth is, and I'll speak for myself, he saw a mess that needed his help. He saw a mess that couldn't help himself. Is there anything that we could do to inherit God's righteousness? It has to be received. And so he says this, verse 5 again, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ Jesus. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so listen, walk ye in him. It's by faith. And then notice this, ready? Verse 7. Rooted and built up in who? Did you see that? What does it mean to be rooted and built up in him? If you are intertwined, knitted together, and he is the supplier of life, not us. He is the wisdom. If we will say as a church, God, I don't want to do it my way. You have promised to give me your wisdom and your understanding. Has he not? And so, Lord, I want to live my life. In fact, I want to give you my life that you have purchased. I belong to you, and I want you to do with it as you will. I want to walk by your grace. I want to know that you are leading my life. I'm telling you, you will be amazed, and I'm just scratching at the surface, and I want you to know it's a moment-by-moment walk, and so we have to just be willing to say as we go throughout the day, God, I don't know what's on the horizon at this very moment, but Lord, I want you to have your will and your way, and we will be able to deny ourselves. We won't do it. He will bring that to pass. He will crucify the flesh, and Christ will come forth, and listen, you will know it's the Lord. You will observe situations and circumstances where you will see what you would have done, and yet God has intervened, and it will be an unbelievably great experience to yield to the Lord and let him have his way, and you'll walk away on cloud 9 to see the hand of God in your life, and you will see the difference. May I tell you something? We can fool ourselves that we are doing the will of God, and it's all of self. We can fool ourselves. We can come up with all these, because I'm telling you, a lot of times the Spirit would have us to be quiet. Yeah. And not try to explain ourselves and not try to not listen. And you will see the grace of God in a powerful way. So he wants us to be rooted and built up in him. If we are rooted and built up in him must be coming forth in our lives. If we are rooted and built up in him, it must be his life in us. Does Christ want his life in you and me? He does. That's the light of the world. So he says, rooted and built up in him, notice, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Notice this, abounding therein, abounding in that being rooted and built up. You're abounding. That means you're experiencing God to a greater degree. You remember what Paul wasn't just whistling a new tune when he said, listen, for me to live is Christ. He wasn't just saying that because he needed something to fill in the Bible. It was a biblical truth that made the difference in his life. And he was saying, listen, I've come to this place to where my experience with my God, for me to really have life, is to let Christ have it. And to let Christ guide it. And to experience the love and joy and peace that only God can bring. I don't think we're really experiencing as believers. I think we have that potential because it's been given to us what God wants us to have. And all of these riches of the full assurance of understanding that he's given to us in salvation. So, again, he says this, listen, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he gives us a warning here. He says, beware in verse 8. Listen, it's so easily lost. Now, when I say lost, just misplaced and where we miss out. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. That's thinking naturally. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Now, why did he give that warning? Because the potential of being thwarted from experiencing Christ is always present. It's always present. You know how I tell you? It's so true. Listen, I understand this at this very moment, but our walk with Christ is moment by moment because we can walk out, and if we lose sight that we need the Lord, we naturally revert to the flesh, the natural man. Listen, we have the old man and the new man. Yes? Bible talks about that. The old man is our way of thinking. You know what God's trying to do with the old man? He's not trying to strengthen Peter. He's trying to break Peter. Not shatter Peter, but to break the alabaster box, because then the Holy Spirit comes out. To break so that the sweet odor fills the room. And it's not ours, it's God's. Does that make sense? He is wanting us to be rooted and built up in him. And the only way that that happens is to be yielded so that he can come forth. That's why we have to deny ourselves. And the truth is, God, I can't do that without you. Lord, you've got to slow me down because, you know, we're going to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That's the natural realm. And listen, the world applauds that. But we can get so busy accomplishing things that we leave God out. As a saved child of God, we can provide for ourselves. We can do it. But that's not what God wants to do. God wants us to be able to say, boy, what God is doing in my life. Now, what's the difference in that? And that is God's rest. That is believing what we looked at. And I'm just going to read it. You can turn back there. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I just want to read this very quickly again to remind you what we need to know and believe. And the way that we do that is to ask God to help us to understand this. Because we can understand it at this moment, but I need God to understand this moment by moment. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, listen, I, called of God to preach the word of God, can forget this in one moment. So God, I have to ask God, please help me to understand how much I need you and how much you're available. And all I need to do is what? Call on God. And he's promised to answer. Listen, do you believe that? And to show us great and mighty things that we don't know. So God, listen, this is such a fundamental, foundational truth, but I still need him to understand it every day. So verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And if I get upset, I am not thinking that God is working out all things for my good. If I get upset, obviously something's not going my way. And if things aren't going my way, who's on the throne? Not God. Because now I've reverted back to my way instead of God's way. Do you see the difference? God's way. Ready? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My way, Israel. Ready? Why did you tell them that you had another brother? That's what Israel said. Jacob. I got him right. Jacob. You know what he was saying? Why didn't you lie? That's Jacob. That's the flesh. Joseph said you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you see the difference between the flesh and the spirit? Jacob didn't catch that till the end of life, but praise God, he got it. He said, few and hard, and I don't remember the description that he gave, but it was a very difficult life. But the last 17 years, he was with Joseph and his grandchildren, got to see them. He never thought he'd see Joseph again. He thought Joseph was dead. And figuratively speaking, God brought him back to life. Hey, listen, the sun has risen. And he has risen today in your life and mine, if we'll have it. And so Joseph rested all the way through his life at probably before 17. And listen, every situation and that's why I'm telling you, the flat tire can be, and it should be, really, the afflictions of Christ as we yield to him. Lord, this is a good thing because I'm going to rest in you. I'm not going to be worried that I might be late for my appointment. I'm not going to be worried that now I'm going to have to figure out how to get this. You are going to guide me through this flat tire. Because it would be a horrible thing for us to lose our testimony on the side of the road. Amen? God wants us to have our testimony all the time. And listen, equate this. The testimony of Christ is his peace and joy. And by the way, he wants to testify to you and I and then to the world. And what the world gets is the outflowing, the overflowing of what he's given to us. And so if we don't have the joy, when I say you, I want you to know me too. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, then we're missing the Lord. Listen, does God bring peace into salvation? Are you saved? Is his peace, should not his peace, I didn't say you wouldn't have difficulties and trials, but when is there a time that God doesn't want his peace in your life and mine? What time is it that God says, okay, this is not the time for my peace and joy in your life? Is there a time for that? There is no time in the heart and mind of God. So if there's a time when there's no peace and joy in our lives, what's wrong? We forgot God. We need to admit it. Hey, Lord, I don't want to forget you anymore. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. I want you to have your will and your way with me. And I believe, Lord, by faith, that you can guide me by your Holy Spirit, that you might live your life through me. So again, verse 28, he says, and we know, and that's an experiential learning, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We want to have God's purpose in our life. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So he's telling us that we are the called, the purpose of God to experience the grace of God through our lives all the time. Verse 29 again, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So when does he not want us to be conformed to the image of his son? In verse 29, he says, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. When you think of the attributes of the Son of God, is he not the Son of peace? The King of peace? Love? Grace? What time of the day does he tell us that he does not want us to be conformed to him? Because at that time of the day, know this, we are not in fellowship with God. And that's our problem. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, if that wasn't enough, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Do you see the emphasizing on our position in Christ? Do you see him just really trying to drive this understanding, this truth to us that we're in his hands? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, and he's in the process of doing that now. What shall we then say to these things? To these things that we just read, what shall we say? Well, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why is he making that? Why is he asking that question? To let us know that we have everything we need. And then he says this, if that's not enough. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. All, every believer. How shall he not with him, God, with God the Son, also, notice, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How shall he not do that? And the truth is, he will do that because he's given us his Son. He's given to us everything that pertains to eternal life in us. Isn't that good? God wants us to walk in his power. But we have to be willing to come to the place we can do it like Jacob. Israel, he didn't catch it till the end. Joseph, which is a picture of Christ, is he not? Enjoyed it all. Christ paid the whole price for you and I to walk in that truth. So tonight we looked at Paul's great conflict. We understand that. That hearts knit together in the grace of God, rooted and built up in him because of the grace of God. And then there was a warning. And then God wants us to understand these truths, to walk in them so that we can be the light of the world. Not because by our effort. I'm telling you, listen, I'm going to challenge you to ask God to allow you to see his grace in your life. But it has to be him, not you doing it for him. Are you willing to do that? Lord, I want you to have your will in my life. And I'm telling you, it will happen like this. You will see what you would normally do. God, it's like God stops time in your mind to examine a choice. The Spirit, listen, I'm telling you, it will be like you will be magnetically drawn to doing what the Spirit wants because you've already yielded saying, God, I want to experience this life that you have given to me. I want to experience your mercy and grace in my life. Listen, a situation or a circumstance will arise in your life, probably right in your own home, and God will give you the thought. A lot of times, listen, remember, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Too late, isn't it? Why did I say that? Oh, if I could have just stopped. That's what God does. And he presents a choice. And he says, the flesh could die and I'll be glorified, or you can take up the cause and the light won't be seen. And we will say, let the light go, let the light show. And we will experience the grace of God, and we'll walk away saying, wow, wow. And God will still our hearts and minds, and he will stay them on him. God wants us to experience that, not our effort, but his glory and grace. Listen, Christ in us, in you, the hope of his glory. Listen to that again. Christ in you, the hope, that's God's hope of glory through us. I don't understand it. He has chosen to glorify himself in this weak clay. And he can do it. We say again, bless God, he can save the drug dealer and the criminal. And if he can do that, he can easily take care of those he's already redeemed, if we'll have it. Amen? Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the truth that you reveal to us, and for the experience, Lord, that you want us to have in the salvation that you've already given to us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to experience that in a life-changing way where we want to experience more of you in us. Bless the invitation, Lord, and may we look to you truly from where our strength comes from and where your glory will be seen. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.